But David was an heir.
Amen.
See, you got to understand something. You see, God calls us to serve, but we are not servants.
Amen.
Watch this. You see, a servant who's serving is only doing what he has to do. But someone that is an heir, and aren't we who are the righteousness of God? Aren't we co-heirs to the kingdom of God?
Amen.
Don't we have an inheritance?
Yes.
Are you with me? But God, even though we are an heir,
amen,
he wants within our hearts,
yes,
and within our spirit to have an attitude of a servant.
Yes.
See, those other boys weren't going to get that.
Yeah.
But David is an example of us,
amen,
who are heirs. But God is calling us to serve.
Yes.
See, that's why, you see, the enemy, you may think we always give the enemy credit for our bad fortunes.
Right.
See, I don't give the devil any credit for anything in my life. I don't know about you. And see, sometimes you can get stuck somewhere doing something you don't want to do with people you don't want to do it with and not getting anything for doing it. But I'm here to tell you that God has put you in that place. And stop praying to get out of it. Right. Do and let God do in you in that season. You see, we always want to get out of stuff. And listen, God is doing a work in you. You see, you got to learn how to make your suffering count.
Amen.
See, if I'm going to go through something, I'm going to go through something and get something out of it on the other side.
Amen.
But if you're just belly aching and crying and complaining and then lifting up the devil, oh, the devil got me in this bad job. The devil got me doing this. And God is trying to perfect you. He's trying to shape you. He's trying to mold you. And see, that'll change your whole outlook. And see, David understood this because the second thing about a keeper of the sheep is he had time to think.
Yes.
You see,
meditate on them.
You know, the shepherd had a lot of downtime. Because sometimes those sheep would just do nothing. But it's like a child. Just because your child is doing nothing doesn't mean you can't just stop those leave them. You gotta keep watching.
Right.
Are you with me tonight? Yeah. And so David was out in that field, right? And now sometimes the sheep would be moving around and shepherds, and David would have to go chase after them. But a lot of times, those sheep would just be doing that.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of Christians do.
Right.
Just sitting down. Huh? Just lying, sitting down, laying down, grazing on the grass.
Go ahead.
But David was making that downtime count.
Yes.
And while he was in the field and in the midst of all of God's wonder and glory, you see, you know, sometimes, you know, you need to just got to go on a walk and just go and watch the
scenery.
See, the voice is like springtime. And you just see just where there was just nothing, a branch that was dry just a couple of days ago. And now you see a bud and a flower. And only God can make. And sometimes you got to take some time.
Amen.
And meditate upon them.
Amen.
And David had a heart for God. You see, he had, God had told Samuel, he said, now, when y'all chose Saul, that was your choice.
That's right.
So the next one is going to be my king. Saul was your king, but the next king is going to be my king. And he's going to have a heart for me.
Amen.
And this is what David had in that shepherd's, and then as a shepherd in that field. Now the third thing is, in order to keep the sheep, you got to have a special heart and a special caring for all the sheep. Someone say all the sheep.
All the sheep.
You see, some sheep can get on your nerves. Right. And see, some sheep, we gotta understand that sometimes some sheep get away Sometimes some sheep run away. Sometimes, you know, because you when you're trying to shepherd some folk, and pastor will tell you, you know, you always got at least one or two or three or five or 16 or 40 that got their own ideas. Hello, somebody. But you have to shepherd those as well. See, we like to just pour in to the good sheep. Hello, somebody. The sheep that will just do what we say. And the sheep that will just say, oh, pastor, you are just so, you're the finest pastor in Rochester. So, oh, those are sheep. But no, God has put some sheep in our lives. And some of these sheep are wandering sheep.
Yeah.
Some of these sheep are cantankerous sheep. Some of these sheep are mischievous sheep.
Yeah.
But a good shepherd cares for all the sheep.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And this is what David was going on in David's heart. It reminds you, if you look at John chapter 10, verse 11. I just got a couple, then we'll be through. Jesus. You see, a lot of these preachers today, they want to be rock stars, but they don't want to be like Jesus. See, you shouldn't want to ride in a Bentley if you're not willing to ride the bus. Are you with me tonight? You know, and say, a good shepherd. He said, John chapter 10, verse 11 says, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Now, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep.
Amen.
He'll give everything that he has so the sheep will be well. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. No ownership. No connection to the people. And so when the wolf comes, yeah, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. But a good shepherd protects and cares for all of his sheep. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Amen.
And all other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice.
Yes.
And there will be one flock. Someone say one flock.
One flock.
And one shepherd.
One shepherd.
Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again.
Yes.
And no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. This command I have received from my Father.
Amen.
You see, a good shepherd does what the owner of the field tells him to do.
Amen.
Shepherd doesn't have his own agenda. He doesn't do things his way. He does what the owner says. He says, this command I received from my Father, the owner. Therefore, and so this shepherd, this sheep, this heart of David was recognized by God.
Amen.
The fourth thing about keeping the sheep was, you see, Jesse lived in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was a lot like Rochester. You see, there's a lot of sheep in Rochester. There's a lot of sheep in Bethlehem. But there were a lot of wolves in Bethlehem. Are you with me tonight?
Yeah.
There was a lot of creatures and stuff that were willing to prey upon the sheep.
Yes,
Lord. See, we got a lot of wolves walking around the streets right now. Watch this, though. David realized because there were so many wolves that he could only do the best that he could.
Amen.
See, I don't care how good a pastor you are. You can't see all the wolves coming.
Amen.
Amen. Are you with me? And so what you have to do is you have to trust and rely on God.
Amen.
You say, God, I'm gonna do the best that I can. I'm gonna watch over my sheep day and night. I'm gonna pour into them all that I have. But I know this, that I am only a shepherd. I am only man. I am not God.
cannot guarantee that all of these sheep will be saved. So God, will you do me this favor? Will you watch over the? Will you come in when I have a shortcoming? Can you reach out past where I can reach? Can you chase after farther than I can run? Can you see further than I can see?
Hallelujah.
And see, David understood this. And see, all this stuff was in David, but being birthed out of David in that field. His father was hiding away. You gonna deal with that. I got my other sons that we gonna deal with. You know, we got the man of God coming to the house. But so David, we don't have time for you. Have you ever been in a situation where the world didn't have room for you? So, but God was positioning and preparing David. You see, the main thing of the man of God, a shepherd, leader, whatever you want to call him, you got to be humble. Without humility, he can't make it happen. See, God hates pride. Right? Are you with me tonight? And it was so good for David that his father in the natural had pushed him aside because in that season of being in the field, it developed some humility within his heart. You see, we know that Samuel was going to anoint him. And we know, because we read ahead, right? We know what's going to happen with David. But don't we jump to the David Goliath thing and think that's the beginning of the story?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, we think that's where David entered into the Bible, throwing rocks at Goliath and everything. And don't you understand? And see, and it gives us a distorted vision of our ministry or our calling or what God has for us in our lives. So we figure that as soon as God calls us to do something, he's going to put some 5 smooth stones in our path, and we're going to go start knocking off the lies.
It
don't work like that. And so what we learn from David is the ABC. Turn your neighbor, say ABC.
ABC.
The first A was anointing. When he was recognized by Samuel, the man of God, Samuel said to Jesse, and he said to David, there's the one. That's all he said. That's it. He's the one. The other 7, they weren't the one. They were good looking. They had all kinds of stuff going for them, but they weren't the one. But something left in the man of God's spirit, Samuel, and when he laid eyes upon David, he said, that's the one. Don't you know that some man of God or woman of God has looked upon you and the Spirit of God has spoken to somebody and said about you, you're the one? That God has something fabulous, supernatural, life-changing for you? So Samuel anoints David. Well, watch this. It was 25 years. Someone say 25 years.
25 years.
Between the season of anointing and the season for David to be king.
Wow.
Right? Now, what happens in those 25 years?
So.
The B. A is anointing. After the anointing, get ready for the B, the battle. What follows the anointing is the spiritual battle. And you got to understand this thing. And see, we've been too busy telling folks, just get your anointing in the Spirit, that will come on you, and then you're going to start moving in the Spirit, and all these things are going to start happening. It's just not true. It might fill your church up. It might sell some tapes. It might sell a book or two. It might get you on television, but it sure ain't true. And we got to stop telling people that foolishness.
Amen.
There's a battle. And in that battle, that's when
right now. You see, the battle, if you look at James chapter 1, verse 12, the battle is where we are shaped and the where we are molded. You see, at Roberts, you may be bright, you may be willing, right?
Yeah.
But you just can't come in there your first day. I don't care how smart you are.
That's right.
And just go up there to tell the dean, give me my diploma now. Right? Because the Lord's got a promise on me. Right? The Lord already spoke that I would graduate from here. Well, that's fine. So here's your class schedule for your first semester. Right? Right? Because you got to prove yourself. You got to show yourself what worthy. And what happens with so many of us in the body of Christ live below our potentials.
Go ahead.
Because we won't go through the battle.
Amen.
Are you with me? We run from the battle. We hide in the midst of the battle. We don't recognize that it is a battle. And we blame other folks for our shortcomings. We ask every Tom, Dick, and Harry and Sue to pray you out of the battle instead of giving you the strength to endure and finish the fight. You see, I don't tell when I'm going through stuff. I don't ask anybody to pray for me to have this hurry up. I say, I want you to do this. Pray that I receive all that God has for me in the midst of this storm. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to get out of it. I don't want one tear not to come, one piece of pain not to happen until God releases me.
Amen. My God.
Mm-hmm. God. I don't want to do it over.
No. You get that incomplete, man. But James put it like this. He says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. What are you enduring right now? What you going through? For when he has been approved, and only after he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Amen.
A, B, C. A, anointing. B, battle. C, crown.
Amen.
You don't get the crown.
Amen.
You may go over to Burger King and get your own crown. A whole bunch of missionaries and evangelists and prophets and all these other folks that have just gone over to Burger King, got their own crown. But when I get my crown, I want there to be power.
You see,
when it took 25 years for David to get to where God had purposed and promised him, and he had to go through a whole bunch of mess with Saul and a whole bunch of other folks. Mm-hmm. But when he got to that throne, everybody recognized that he was king. He didn't have to convince anybody he was king. He didn't have to send out a press release. He didn't have to do anything. The people recognized that he was king because he had been through the battle. And he had gone through everything that the anointing had started. And he was faithful to God in the midst of the battle. And when it was time, God said, now, here is your crown. And I know there's some people in this room tonight that God has been, he has already anointed. Is not from the enemy, it's God shaping.
Amen.
shown you what God would have you do. And it did come to pass right away. And then someone along the journey has tried to discourage you from walking into what God has for you.
Yeah.
And you have been engaged in all kinds of hustles, battles, family stuff. Hello, somebody. That's somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get a breakthrough tonight, Pastor. But I'm here to tell you that God is positioning you,
Jesus,
and all that you have gone through will be for your good. And every tear that you have cried is just water. The vision that God has placed upon your life. You see, nothing will grow without water. Are you with me? And sometimes our tears can water that which God has called in this place within your life.
Yes, Lord.
And God is saying tonight, it didn't stop David when his father in the natural didn't recognize him.
Yes.
Amen.
your protocol is and everything.
Just let the Spirit lead you.
We just pray for hope right now.
Amen.
The Lord is saying right now, He wants to see your humility.
Jesus.
The Word of God says in Psalm 147 and 6, the Lord lifts up the humble. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, God gives grace to the humble. Anybody need an extra measure of grace tonight? And he says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Is anybody ready to be lifted up? The more God will lift us up.
Yes.
And I want us to while we sing that thing of the weeds all day, can you know that beat? And I want you to just to lift in heaven as long as it's been. Even in the midst of being dismissed, set aside, cast away, forgotten about. When no one thought that you would make it. That ministry, that dream. Maybe it's something in your personal life. Maybe you need to be lifted up in your home, in your relationships. Maybe there's someone that's been struggling with their own just pushed down so low. Just exalt his name tonight. Remember that you are the head and not the tail. Humble yourself before the Lord right now. He's getting ready to move in your life. See all your detractors, everybody that said you wouldn't make it, yet you're still saying that.
Don't you know
that it's your season to come out of that sheep pen, and God is saying, expecting it to happen.
Nobody do me like Jesus. Nobody do me like Jesus. saved my family. Told me to run on, he saved my family. Told me to run on, he saved my family. Told me to run on, he's my friend. Well,
can't nobody
do me like Jesus.
Oh, what a night. That was an awesome message. The Holy Spirit moved in here tonight, and we just want to give the Lord thanks and praise. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, and just can't wait to see what the Lord's doing.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Pastor Nicholas, we can't pay you for what you're doing, but we would like to give you an offering.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Now, what's the sister's name here? Come here.
Thank you.
What?
Praise the Lord. Thank you.